You get there.
Okay, program. I'm looking through the list. Did you get the list of what we're talking about? I do these talks all the time, and I don't prepare myself. I just go, let's see. Well, so we're going to talk about compost and feeding your garden naturally. Okay? How many of y'all make compost? Cool. Any problems?
Yeah.
Okay. Should she get the microphone? It doesn't work anymore, right? Okay, never mind. So nothing's happening?
Well, we pulled it out and kind of thought,
yeah.
Like,
this one lady called me up the other day. We have a club and we have almost 7,000 members. So this lady calls me up. She says, you know, I have this compost bin for 3 years now. Do you think it'll be ready soon? And I said, well, let's go over this. Because those little bins right there, they do work, but you have to pay a little more attention to them. You have to baby them. They're barely the right big enough to really make compost. It's actually, they're perfect for vermiculture. You know what vermiculture is? You let worms do this stuff. And that's a perfect... That's a perfect vermiculture container because it doesn't have to heat up. Anything you eat there, the worms will eat right up. You see, it's a perfect setup. However, for this size, see, the actual smallest size you want to make for compost is 4 cubic feet, 4 feet by 4 feet by 4 feet, like a big bin. The reason for that is that's the minimum size you need for it to heat up a certain temperature. Can everybody hear me okay? Right? That's the minimum size you need. Unlike cockroaches, with one eat, that's it. You don't share, they don't talk to each other, they're not very communicative, all that kind of stuff. A different approach, okay? So the trick with the boric acid is I usually add 1 tablespoon to this 8-ounce cup of mixture with water and sugar or whatever it is, and see what happens. If they keep eating it, next time I add 2 tablespoons. You want to make the strongest mixture where they die. But they're not stupid. They say, Bertha ate that and I ain't going to touch it, okay? So you want to make it just strong enough. If they die, then you back off to the last mixture, and I explain it all in the book and everything. And that's what you feed them. What happens is they take the boric acid mixture back to the colony. Sooner or later, the queen will get it. Sooner or later, it'll build up. Sooner or later, they'll die, and it'll reduce their population. They have to start over. You know what happens if you get rid of all ants on your property? Here's another question. What? What problem? That's one thing. Yeah, she says that normally the ants control a lot of things. You have that, that'd be a problem. But what happens, you get more ants. New ants will move in from wherever. A big vacancy sign shows up. Ants will move in. You got to start over. I don't want you in the house. I don't want you over here. It's much better to have them trained. They're like your allies. I think of them as, like, you know, the Wizard of Oz. You see all those monkeys walking around, right? They're your allies. You train them to be your friends. They will control everything for you, including termites, all kinds of diseases, grubs, you name, whiteflies, aphids, you name them. They go after them. I'd rather let them do the work because they keep the population. Basically, what you want to do is you want to have a balanced environment. See, whenever any one thing gets out of hand, if you have too much ants, too much anything that's imbalanced, it tells you the environment itself is out of whack. That's what's going on with us humans right now. We're not paying attention to what we're doing to the environment. And these are many signs that are telling us, you know about the bird, the miner's bird cage, you know how to do it. They take a bird down in the mine, and the bird dies, everybody gets out, but what we're doing is just replacing the bird and continue working. Oh, no problem, bird died, get another bird. Right? Okay, let's see, all right, so you increase the boric acid, really very simple. It'll keep your ant population down, the ants will keep going in there, you have to change the source of sugar. They won't eat the same thing at the next month. They say, no, we're smart, we learned. That's good. That's bad stuff. So I would give them, 1 month I'd give them brown sugar. Next month I'd give them corn syrup. Next month after that I'll go back to some other kind of sugar. Or if they leave it alone, I'll give them protein. Fine, you want some cat food, I put some cat food in there with a little boric acid, give it to them. I have a screw down so nobody else can get at it. See, you don't want bees to get at it. Bees will want to go after the sugar and they'll die. It works great on wasps if you don't want wasps around. I talk fast, don't I? I have to hold my breath and you talk like that, see? then you change the source of sugar because then the ants will continue to go after that. And once they don't think that's their food, they'll go in there every time rather than your house. And all you got to do in your house is just spray a little of Dr. Bronze soap and then you change the formula too. Again, they get used to it. If you should use peppermint soap, they go, oh, you're spraying the peppermint soap. We caught on to you. But use the lavender 1 month. They have lavender, peppermint, eucalyptus, almond. They have all different flavors. As a matter of fact, you can go to any health food store and look, buy herbal soap. You can buy, you know, all kinds of wonderful soap. They're totally safe. Shackley's Basic H, Amway's. They all, you know, just make sure it's natural. And you spray that in the house. A lot of times I tell people, okay, you can use essential oils. You know what essential oil is? The reason why I'm talking fast, I got 5 minutes, 4 minutes. You know what essential oil is? It's a concentrate of whatever the herb is. Very high energy. They use it for aromatherapy, stuff like that. Well, the same thing with plants, with ants. One drop in a quart of water, you can use lavender oil, tea tree oil, pennyroyal oil, citronella oil, anything you like, rose. I had people who buy yang-yang, and whatever aromatherapy thing. One drop of that, it's toxic to the ants, to spiders, all kinds of creatures. They go out, they leave the house. Same thing with fleas, all kinds of stuff. And they will come back because they know it's food. They know it's food there. So if you put the Accuphase along the outside, they will go there every time. And that's basically it in a nutshell for the ants. One of the things I learned is that the more out of whack your property is, the more the ants will respond to it. The way you control the ants is by getting your property back in some kind of balanced environmental shape. You'll never control the ants if everything out of whack, because that's their job. Whenever they're stressed, it's a time they get to work. They produce more people, and they go out, and they're there. That's their job. They respond to when a tree is sick. You ever see ants going up a tree? That tree is sick. Something's wrong. It's telling you, the ants are telling me there's something going on with this tree. If you're not smart enough to see that the tree is sick, or they're going up the roses, or they're getting involved. When they get involved in something, you need to look very closely, because they're telling you something's going on with soils. If the earth is, one lady called me up, the earth is moving. You know, it's just one big giant ant colony. Well, that's an infestation. The ants have gone nuts, they've gone out of hand. The things that keep them in control are no longer there. So the tree was. And the tobacco goes out systemic also. So the tree absorbs the tobacco, and any bug that's already in there, beetles or any borers, will eat the wood, they will get the tobacco, and they will die. Remember, you can spray the tree with tobacco, which means that the tree will get it right away within 24 hours. It kills everything. But if your root systems are working, you can put tobacco and it lasts for months. And so I tend to put tobacco down just in time for the season when the bugs come out. So the bugs will go to the tree and go, nope. Or they may, you know, sometimes a bug will lay the eggs, and the eggs will hatch. They'll start nibbling on the tree, they'll die. You know. But no mother in the right mind would plant babies in a tree that is not right for the mother. You see, so and that will control, you just have to replace that tobacco garlic mixture every 3 or 4 months while the tree is getting healthier, and so you can be protected from the bug. Eventually what I do is I plant society garlic on the base of the tree, and the tree has a constant garlic inflow and gives off its garlic, and bugs and creatures just stay away from the tree. And it protects the tree. So you have to feed the tree. The trees are not being fed. They need to get fed something. Slowly but surely fed and watered. You know what I mean? And that alone will bring it back. And forget about dealing with the bug and the disease, because the bug and the disease are there because the tree is weak. Yes? There is a product called slug. And basically, it's iron filings. It just has a coating on it so that it, when it gets wet, eventually the coating disappears. And it's called slug oil. You just take that and sprinkle that around. Since it's iron, you're giving your plants iron. Eventually, the iron will break down and you have iron. But they can't handle the iron. You should be able to buy it in almost any store. I go to several stores and I found it. S-L-U-G-G-O, slug oil. And make sure that it's not some other name, slug oil, because there's probably some other. You know, this is iron filings. So there are a couple other things you can use. The garden, that's wonderful too. Just make sure you get garden grade. And the best diet to that. There are many different grades of diatomaceous earth. Be the best. You look at it, you can look on microscope, and normally normal diatomaceous earth looks like snowflakes. This looks like little tubes. That's how different it is. And this company, they take the best of that, and the rest of it they sell to the rest of the company. This is a mining company. And so this company buys the top grade, and it's actually food grade. You can feed it to horses, feed it to yourself, feed it to the dogs and cats. It deworms them, cleans them out, gives them the minerals, gets rid of flies, and it's great to use. Whereas the pool grade diatomaceous earth is the cheaper variety. It's been chemically treated, and it's toxic to your body. You can't inhale it, can't do it. But garden grade, All you need is a tiny little bit, and the way you really use it is, you make a tea out of it. You can dust it. People say, well, if you're getting it wet, isn't it no good? And that's not true, because when it's dry, it leaves a thin coating on it. And that's an easy way, because they have the little duster mice, you put the diatomaceous and you go around like this, you know. You can dust that way, too. It's just, you know, it's a little thing, you pump it out, you know, and it sort of dust a little bit. A cup of in the pantyhose, it'll do it in about 5 gallons of water. It'll be sort of milkiest, whitest looking. You take that and you spray that, and when it dries, it leaves a thin coat of diatomaceous earth, both underneath the leaves and on top, around. The snails and the slugs will crawl over that, and that will kill it. What I did in the sixth grade, I charged a penny a snail to pick them. One snail would lay 300 eggs. And I tell them, when I give a talk, I tell the kids, go home and charge your penny, your parents, a nickel a snail, and if they pay you a nickel a snail, I have people in Malibu with 25 cents a snail. But, you know, they'll pay you. What I used to do, I used to come back with bags and they say, well, I got 50 snails, and they would pay me for it. And the more snails initially when the snails start coming out, you have a picking party, get the gardener to pick or whatever, throw those away, you're going to be eliminating a lot of snails. Well, it depends. If you know a French restaurant, you can sell it to them. And that was my idea. I used to collect snails and feed them and sell them to this French restaurant, and people would love it. And I said, since I wasn't using any poison on the snails, you know, I used to use cornmeal or whatever, and I would pick all these snails, big, giant, juicy snails, and take them to the French restaurant and get some more. So they would pay me for the snails, and I would go to the French restaurant, and they would pay me for the snails again. And they would eat them. I don't eat snails, but that's just I don't think too many people would do that anymore. So the garden-grade diatomaceous earth works really good. Another way you could do it is you get the diatomaceous earth, you get alfalfa meal, and you mix the two together. Yeah, and then you sprinkle that, so that way you're feeding your plants at the same time that you're controlling any snails and stuff like that. No, you blend the two together and you lightly dust around the base of the plant. That's really good when you're first planting something and you don't want something to get eaten up. Just remember, don't water right away. And a lot of times what you do is you dust the whole area, turn the water system off for a day. And actually what I do is it's called flushing. What you do is you water well for a few days. All the snails will come. Turn the water off, dust with the diatomaceous earth or this mixture. Leave it alone for a few days. The plants won't suffer much. If they're healthy, they can handle 3 or 4 days without water, but they really get rid of a lot of snails. You do that in the beginning, when the season, when it happens, you eliminate 80% of the snails. And then I've done, in the sixth grade, I did my famous beer and snail test. I went out and got different kinds of beers. And I got some wine from the local wino, and I got some vinegar. And the number one thing they went after was the vinegar or the wine. It's a fermentation process. You know, beer goes flat very fast. And all you have is drunk snails. Refill, you know. So I would use a wine or vinegar, or any kind of vinegar, you know. Just a little vinegar and a bowl of water, set it under the plants. You come back the next day, it'll be full of snails and slugs, and you throw them away. It's a trap that attracts them. No, in a bowl. You put vinegar in a bowl, and you place a bowl underneath the plants or someplace, and you come back the next day, and in the morning or at night, because that's when they come out, they tend to go back underneath, you know, during the day. Any kind of vinegar, yeah. Or cheap wine, or whiskey, any of those things that has a real strong, they attract it like crazy. And that'll work for the snail population. But again, the key is, the more earthworms you have, the less snails you're going to have. Earthworms you have, the less snails you have. If you're capable of doing, do a bird bath. Birds will eat the snails up left and right. You have a bird bath, they come and take their bath, oh! They'll chew on whatever snails they find. I have customers have turtles. They run around, eat all the snails. When I lived on my farm, I taught my chickens how to eat the snails. When the babies are born, I'm the first one, and they follow me around, you know. I would give them a snail. When they're young, they're going, you want me to eat this? And when they first eat, oh! And then we eat it up. And then they literally go through the garden looking for snails. You know, once they get into it, they're there, oh, look! And you can hear, oh, look, I found a snail! They all run over there and tear the snail apart. You know, actually, they would go after worms, too. And I said, see the worm! Leave the worm! No, not the worm! You know, they're like, oh, look, I found a worm! Because they're meat eaters, you know. They would eat whatever they can get their hands on. But you teach them to eat the snails. I don't know how many of you have chickens, but that's a real easy way to do that, you know. Any more questions? I still got, you can't. Doesn't she look good in purple? Yes.
Spiders.
Spiders in the juniper tree. I would leave the spiders alone, unless they bother you. 99% of the spiders are totally harmless, and they're there for a reason. Spiders are probably there because they're catching some kind of creature for food, you know, whether it be flies or some kind of insect or something else, you know. If they're not bothering you, I would leave them alone. No, no, spiders are one of the best, they catch flies, fleas, all kinds of things, and just leave them alone. Most of the time people call me up, I got a black widow, are you sure? Well, it's a spider! You know, they have a fear of spiders, and I just leave them alone. A few times I've seen some brown recluse, a few times I've been different kinds of spiders. I found a black widow once. But I didn't kill it. I just took it to a pet store. And people would buy them. I found a tarantula, you know, a big tarantula with a hairy thing. Put it in a container, took it to a pet store. Somebody bought it, took it home, you know. You know, so spiders are cool. You just learn to, you know, respect them and leave them alone, and they're fine. They don't do any damage to the trees at all. It's just maybe, you know, a lot of spider nets, you know, webbing around. But they're there because... Yeah, they're there because they're catching the creatures and stuff like that. You just learn to, you know, sometimes if there are too many spider webs, you just clean the spider webs and say, keep the webbing down, will you? you know, eventually they won't do it on the path. If you keep throwing the web, they figure it out. You know, they move to the other places. You really do want to have them around. Any more questions? Yeah. Yeah, you get a post hole digger, and you do it right. There's a place like under your tongue where you put stuff. The same thing with a tree. And if you could fly over the tree, you see where the root systems go out like that. You place them in amongst the root systems. The rule of thumb is twice the diameter of the trunk. Big trunk, you know, you twice the diameter of the trunk. You're moving out. It's not out by the drift system. See, a lot of chemical people say no. You never put anything there because you'll kill them. Why? Because they're putting chemicals in. That'll kill the tree. They usually put it all the way out by the drift system. And then they put chemical in there, and they wouldn't use a clay pipe. They would probably use some PVC pipe and put the chemical in there and fertilize it, right? But I've learned you put it closer to the tree, closer to the trunk, because that's where the tree will absorb it. And you use only compost and the mixture that I talk about, organic fertilizers in there. The tree will absorb it. What you're doing is you're helping the root systems to refluoride their hair, get more. You may want to introduce like mycorrhiza, the bacteria that's normally there. They sell it now. You can buy mycorrhiza, put it back in the ground. And encourage the mycorrhizae to grow. There's good nematodes and bad nematodes. You know that, right? So a lot of people, if you have bad nematodes, what do? I tell people, the way you do it is you stick the good guys against the bad guys. So you get good nematodes and you stick them on the bad nematodes. See what I mean? And that works really well. There's a lot of stuff. The nematodes go after many creatures that are in the soil, from grubs to termites. You know, the subterranean termites. There's a special nematode you can buy for subterranean termites. They'll go after the termites. As a matter of fact, they'll go after ants. They'll go after any creature that's in the soil. They die because the soil, they're normally found in the soil, see? Then they start to die because the soil starts to die. So you have to bring, the key here is getting the soil, everything goes back to the health of the soil, one way or another. You have to pay more attention. Compost and mulch is what you have to do, compost and mulch. Composting, literally throw the compost on top of the last year's mulch. Compost and mulch. It all tends to go down. Eventually, I tell you, when the earth burps, you have enough. It's all over the place, and you don't have to worry about feeding it anymore because that's the way it normally should be. You've heard we're losing the topsoil, you know. That's what's going on, and we don't have any topsoil. We just got the subsoil. That's what we're trying to grow in. So you have to try to bring more and more topsoil. That's why this composting and recycling is so important. We need to bring the topsoil back, as much topsoil as we can. And that would make a big difference. It increases the earthworm population, makes the trees healthier. You know, this whole thing about the global warming, it's the trees. You know, you see the ads in the papers, it's the cheese. Well, it's the trees. We've done more damage to the earth in the last 500 years than we could have in the last 10 to 20,000 years. We have done more damage simply by cutting the trees down. This all used to be forest. The United States was giant forest. Europe was giant forest. Arizona, in the Amazon, they're cutting hundreds of acres a minute every day. For what? So you can grow cattle, so you can do the beef. And trees, you know, you heard about El Nino or La Nina. Well, trees are Mother Nature's shock absorber. They keep the environment going one way or the other. What do trees do? They take in carbon dioxide, and what do? give off oxygen. What they do, they take toxins in and they clean it and purify it, put it out, if they're working right. So that's why we're getting more and more carbon dioxide, because we're doing the carbon dioxide. But we're really doing this, we're cutting the trees down to the point that it can no longer absorb the carbon monoxide and give off the oxygen. Same thing with the ozone layer. When it gives off oxygen, oxygen is O2. It changes to O3, which is ozone. And all it's a simple thing. Oh, we're planting more trees. Well, here they cut down a 200-year-old tree, and then they stick out a baby little tree. Now, tell me that little baby tree is going to do the same thing as that 200-year-old tree. If it survives, you have to feed it and take care of it for maybe a few hundred years, 150 years before, it can even do the same thing as that 200-year-old tree. So I don't buy it that we're planting more trees or we're cutting the trees down. There was an article yesterday in a paper in Germany where this forest, which used to belong to, the Caesar, or whatever they call it, and they said, this is my private hunting ground, anybody goes on there, I'll kill him. And then Hitler came around and said, this is my private hunting ground. So these guys saved it accidentally because they made it their own private hunting ground. It's the only place that has bison, the only place that has some of these creatures that are extinct. And people are saying, so that's a waste of money. Look at all those trees just sitting there not doing anything. This is money being wasted. We need to go in there and log and do stuff. They're not getting it. They're not getting it. It's one of the few places in Europe that has this forest left. And it's like they're looking at the trees. It's a waste of money. That tree is wasted. We need to cut it down and build a house. And we've already done so much damage in the United States. And we're doing damage now in the Amazon. We're doing damage all across the world. How are we doing that? Cutting the trees down. And if we were to... I tell people, if a big giant spaceship came down and took all the human beings and all the chemicals away, the Earth would still be in trouble in terms of how to regenerate this stuff. Because it does not regenerate in a toxic environment. I'm not even talking about bioengineering. That's a whole other ball game right there. That you go to the store right now, you're going to be buying bioengineered food. Never even tested it properly. They say, well, it doesn't spread to another. I told them a long time ago, hey, a little bee is going to come over into your bioengineered field, and then it's going to go over to the organic field, and guess what? Now they're a bioengineered too, and they're going to lose their organic certification. And pretty soon, you're not going to have any organic seeds or any heirloom seeds because it spreads. On top of that, the wind will come and take, they found a seed that flew all across the world and landed somewhere else. This seed only comes from here, so there ain't no barriers, you know what I mean? And we're in deep doo-doo now because the United States is the only place that forces its people to eat bioengineered food. The rest of the countries of the world are going, hello, no, we're not buying it. You know, so it's getting, I actually give two kinds of talks. I give a gardening talk and I give, it's the end of the world talk. I give a gardening talk and, hey, we're in deep doo-doo here talk, you know. And I like doing both because I'm getting more and more fed up with this pollution and more fed up with, there's a saying, the frog does not pollute the pond it lives in. Well, we've gone way beyond that point. Humans are the only one that love to pollute the pond that they're in.
Hi, this is Andy Lopez, Invisible Gardener. I wanted to tell you a little bit about what I do. I've been in business since 1970. I do natural tree care. The whole key is healthy soil, so I talk a lot about healthy soil. That's very important. You can't have trees without having healthy soil. Healthy soil provides the trace minerals needed for the plants. We all need trace minerals. The trees get it from the soil. Get it? There's what I do is 100% organic and natural. There's a difference. In organic and natural. Rock dust is natural. It's not organic, right? It's a mineral. So that's why I say organic and natural. It makes the whole property beautiful. It makes your fruit tree delicious because it has the minerals that makes that you want. You can taste it, so it makes it sweet. That's how I do it. I do a lot of native work because if the soil is healthy, the natives will grow really, really well too. You can see the difference in their color and how they look to you. And I tell people, keep your trees happy, and they will be free of pests and diseases. They will be, because when they're sick, that's when they get attacked by one disease or one pest or another. I do a natural spraying service. I've been doing this since 1970, right? It's so natural, it doesn't hurt a single bee, won't hurt a fly, won't hurt anything. The whole key is providing the trace minerals and the microbial life that's needed for the plants without the use of chemicals. By chemical, I mean man-made chemicals. Everything's in chemical. Nature is a chemical. So I talk to you for a magical garden, and that's what I help you do. Have a beautiful, magical garden where everybody's happy, everybody's healthy. Give me a call today for a house call. Normally, it's $100 for a house call. Mention a radio show, you get a free house call. It depends how far we have to go, right? This is InvisibleGardener.com. Check it out. You can join. Membership is currently free. Normally, $55 for a lifetime plus my printed book, $20, digital version. Now it's free. You're going to get all my books, 21 books in PDF format, right? And I can talk to you. I do a radio show. Here's the radio show. I have a newsletter, all kinds of things set up just to help you. So come by, take a look, check it out, join today, and then let me see how I can help you. Remember, don't panic. It's organic. Have a beautiful, nice day. Take care of yourself. Be healthy. This is a good time to start growing your vegetables, growing fruit trees for a magical garden, InvisibleGardener.com. Thank you. More coming up. I've been in business since 1970. I've done some really big places, some small places. But this is a place I take care of in Ojai. Everything's totally natural, totally organic. The lawn's organic. The fruit trees are organic. I take care of their oak trees, keep them happy. They have a disease called Phytophthora, but don't tell them that because you can't tell the oaks are sick at all. And I go there and I make their property really, really healthy by doing very simple things. Rock dust is one of them. I recently read somewhere where people are saying that rock dust has heavy metals in it. Yeah, it does. So you have to, find out you have to deal with companies that are really clean. There's lots of rock dust companies out there. But heavy metals is one of the things we need. You just need them in the right amount. Too much becomes toxic. So that's one of the things you have to find out about rock dust, what type of heavy metals they have in it, right, to what degree, to what extent. Remember, you're not eating the rock dust. The microbes are eating the rock dust and converting it to food for the plants and then eventually food for you. So I use rock dust. I use all types of blends of different types of rock dust. But I do a little bit of research on the company and find out where it's being mined from. The last thing you want to do is have a company that's mining radioactive dust, right? Or heavy metal, where it becomes too toxic, way too much of the heavy metals is supposed to be in there, right? So, like with anything else, rock dust, you have to, do a little research. Or deal with someone you trust. Like, for example, you can ask me if that rock dust is toxic or if it's safe to use or what. Because I've been around a long, long time. That's why I do the club, to help people understand, what they're doing. You all with me so far? That's what I'm here for, to help you understand what it is that you're doing to the point where you can become a really good, amazing gardener yourself. Right? I do the spraying service. The spraying service is... you spray a product called Super Seaweed. Super Seaweed is an invention of mine that I invented way back as a way to put the microbes and the minerals back into the ground. But not only back into the ground, I realized a long time ago it's a foliar feeder. You want to give it back to the plants in a way that can absorb it right away, and that's through their leaves and through their trunks. So I've developed a way over the years of being able to spray a combination of microorganisms and trace minerals. So here's the thing, is that anyone can do this. I happen to be very creative and a genius in my field, so to speak, and I invented a product that I can use. But there are tons and tons of products out there that you can use. You don't have to invent your own product, right? And that you can go out and do a natural spraying service. There's all types of natural seaweed, natural liquid products out there. You just have to read, you have to learn. And from experience, you'll get better at it. Don't panic. It's organic. InvisibleGardener.com. Healing the soil. Here's Andy EcoCat. Enjoy.
Hello. Hi. This is Andy EcoCat. I'm here to talk to you today a little bit about toxins in your food. Recently, I had my blood tested for food allergies. We should all test ourselves once a year for food allergies. Seems like a good idea, right? But here's what I found that is interesting. While these folks are on the right path of food allergies, they seem to be missing a very important factor in why the body starts to get allergic reactions to certain foods we're eating in the first place. Testing your blood for what your body has deemed toxic is an excellent idea, but ignoring what the body is really reacting to is not. So let me explain how this is supposed to work. The body decides over here. The body decides that a certain food, say corn, is now toxic to you, and it reacts accordingly. If you keep eating the corn, the body will keep doing what it has to do to protect itself. This actually leads to many other health problems, which I understand why. But the logic here is to simply stop eating that food and eat something else. Okay, that will solve the problem, I guess, if you have to give up, say, corn forever. But we'll only substitute one problem for another. If we are not eating, dealing with the cause, and not, if we are dealing with the cause and not the effect. The effect is our bodies reacting this way. The cause is not the food, but the toxins in the food, my opinion. So I won't get into trouble, you know how it is. So you are just replacing one toxin with another. The body will eventually start reacting to that. Another thing I see is that if the body decides that, say, corn is bad, then all corn would be bad to this body, even if that corn was organically grown without chemicals, and change the page, and is full of nutrition, and it was grown in your backyard. I call it the Pavlov effect. Ring the bell every time you eat a bad corn, and it will ring when you eat a good corn too. Or actually, maybe you ring the bell if you eat a good corn, ring the bell if you eat a bad corn, it's all be the same. Corn is especially bad since it is of the GMO variety, which is a special super duper high fructose. If you eat this sugar, if you eat this, you will die sugar. Corn is one of the items that it says I'm allergic to, and I can understand why. It is really simple because these last few months, my wife and I really wanted corn, and since no organic corn was found, gee, I wonder why. Think cross-pollination. Any organic corn field where anywhere near GEO will end up the same, GEO. And we're starting to buy the locally grown food even though it was not organic. And so, yes, it will affect me. I bet I can eat a real organically grown corn that has no toxins and my body will still react, think Bell. I believe I can untrain my body, but that is another story. So this got me thinking, and there are some results of that thinking. We are eating more and more toxins than ever before. Even certified organic produce is being polluted. The word natural no longer means safe and natural. Almost all products that say natural will have the high fructose GEO corn fructose, as well as whatever GEO they can make. See, the Bayer buys Monsanto. Look, I fell for it. I was eating natural foods and thinking they were what it says. And now you know that it's not. Toxins are entering the bloodstream through the air, the soil, the food, the water. Certified organic produce are being grown close to fields of conventional chemically grown foods. They are contaminated by worker equipment. They are being contaminated by shipping. Did you know that even if it's organic grown, it must be treated with chemicals before entering the United States, if it's grown outside the United States? Organic produce is being contaminated in storage. Put a freshly sprayed chemically grown pesticide in the same container with a clean vegetable and test before and test after, and what do you get? Then organically and chemically grown are both placed next to each other in the stores. Seriously, right? Not to mention that companies are outright lying to you, just plain fooling you. Many products that say non-GMO and you buy it thinking it's safe, not really. It's being grown with whatever chemicals they were using before. It's not organic. It does not say certified organic. If it doesn't say certified organic, don't buy it. By the way, all certified products by law has to be GMO, actually GEO, free. Natural does not mean it is free of GMO or free of pesticides or whatever. While I think it's a great idea to test for food allergies, you should also not fall for it if they tell you that your body doesn't know when it's organic food you're eating. I believe that you're being lied to, the food, not the doctors, into thinking that certain food is bad for it when it, in reality, is a toxin in the food that you are reacting to. So I would also take a toxin test and see if any of the toxins are found in my blood, and I see no reason to think that my blood is toxic-free. I'm not going to have my blood test and the doctor say, oh my God, you should be dead by now. The bottom line is that we have to take more action on our part and tell the business world that toxins are bad, and we want to live in a world with less toxins and not more, especially in our food, water, air, oceans. We can do this, but we have to start at home, in our gardens. Tell folks like Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, Lassen's, PC Greens, to name a few, that we do not want conventionally grown produce, but only want safe organic foods and products. Tell them that we read labels. We know that labeling something like a name with organic, like organic green, that we will think is organically grown too, and it's not. We know the difference. Let's see, where was it? Oh yeah, pest control companies are changing their names to sound like they're green and organic, but they're not. Don't be fooled. Read ingredients before you eat. Any questions? Send it to andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. Mention EcoCat in the subject, and I will get back with you. Thank you very much. Happy growing organically, of course. And now for some music. Yes. Bye. Okay.
He will answer true to your best compass properly to hear your soil and make you laugh too. So don't panic. Oh, it's organic. No chemicals to make the earth sick. Oh, don't panic. Oh, it's organic. The way that nature intended it. It fires you on your ticks, white flies and fleas. Help to diagnose what's wrong with your roses or trees. Setting up an alternative way to the disease. That's the whole planet. It will please.
Let's go. Yeah.
What's this one for?
This one over here, it's in the powder form. They're all in powder form. This is made from soybeans.
Oh,
huh?
Oh, it's so white.
Yeah, it's made from soybeans, 1 teaspoon per gallon. That's very high in nitrogen, 13.22. Started in the sixth grade, I really did.
That's
in the sixth grade, I started doing ant treatments for people.
Ant treatments? Yeah, what about your ant treatments?
Because I read a book called Do Ants Sleep? I wrote an article about it. And I started doing. I went to the principal and I said I want to do a raised bed vegetable garden instead of phys ed. Said you can't do that.
What year was that?
56, something like that. And so we had the raised beds was cool. We had lots of vegetables, all organic stuff coming out, and I had beer. You know, I had the vinegar, a little vinegar for the snails. Then of course the ants came.
There was a million ants everywhere. And I said, this corner is safe because that's the only place they weren't spraying. So I said, okay, what do I do with ants? So I read the book, Do Ants Sleep? And try to figure out, you know, ants are a totally female-run organization. You know that, right? They're all ladies. Even though the ants with the big claws, they're ladies.
You know?
That first year in the sixth grade, people said, can you come and do my yard? Come and do, that was the best advertising ever done. Do vegetable garden for the school. I had like 150 customers by the ninth grade. I had a whole cul-de-sac. You know what that is? It's like a whole, it's a dead-end street. So I had that one guy. And the neighbor said, before night I had at least 20 of them or 30 of them in that one little corner. When I went to the 10th grade, which was a different school, you know, it's like junior high school and high school, I had to go through the whole thing again. Andy does not do phys ed. He does home ed and he does this. And I had to go to four schools before one of them said, okay, this is the one, you can come in this way. So by the time I was in the 12th grade, I had the whole place landscaped with a whole bunch of edibles. I had a vegetable garden going and flowers and all the schools would say, Andy, you need to come over and help us get the, I still call it schools now. I go to all different kinds of devils of schools, you know, and talk to the kids. We take the teachers out. Okay, parents and teachers out. Just talk on the kids. And we talk about things you would not believe. We talk about the speed of light. How fast is the speed of light? We talk about energy. We talk about pollution problems. Kids are really smart. Because I was smart. I took an IQ test in the sixth grade. And I turned around and made my own IQ test for them, and they failed it. And I had like over 200 or something IQ, I don't know. The guy says, you're out of there. Yeah, I'm out of there. I'm out. So I've never used to chemicals. Never used to. Everything's a chemical, but you know what I mean, natural chemicals. I got this guy called me up the other day. He says, Andy, you're fooling people. He says, don't panic, it's organic. I have an organic gun. I use malathion. I use DDT. They're organic. They're organic compounds. He's a chemist. Organic compound. It should have been called natural gardening rather than organic gardening. I didn't start it.
I thought you guys would like to see my new car. What do you all think?
That's it, smile. That's it, doggy, doggy. Before you start pruning, you want to, first of all, have good tools. Secondly, you have to understand that you spread diseases by using the tools, by not cleaning them. If I went to a citrus, I had a disease, and then I came to this one and pruned it, this one would get the disease too. Alcohol works real good. I like using my favorite cleaner, citrus product. It's called Orange TKO. It's a wonderful clean product. Doesn't have any petroleum distillates in it. Use it for a lot of things. You're going to find out that I do use it for everything. But you can easily go and point it in the right direction. See? That'll kill all the diseases on contact. Then all you got to do is just wipe it off. And you just do that on a regular basis while you're pruning. That way you make sure you're not spreading any diseases. You also do that with roses, any plant that you want to prune back, any diseased plant you want to prune back. Okay? So that's on Tool Care 101.
Here's an example of a plums tree flare. See, here I am working on the tree, on the plum tree, trying to expose the flare. It gets built up. You see how that stuff has been added around the base? So you want to remove it away slowly. As you can see, the flare was covered, so that's why it's dark. So you want to slowly but surely, over a period of time, I'm going to remove it. So initially what I'll do now is I'm going to feed it
And first thing that I always feed things is rock dust. So this is my pelletized rock dust blend, which I add to it. Got a lot of microbial and bacteria and other things. I turn it in. And then later I'm going to come out around and do a soil drench. There you go, right there. You can see, take a look at the root flare of it. And those things that are growing on the ground there are called suckers. So first I clean around the root flare, try to use my hands, because that's the easiest way to determine what the flare is. Try to remove some of the soil that's been built up around. You see that the mulch is too much, if it gets built up too much. Always want to remove any of the suckers. Cut them off. See, there you go. Cut all the suckers off. Yeah, man. Okay, and then I have some garden grade diatomaceous earth that I'm going to put on the plant. Right now I'm putting some more of the rock dust blend on it. But this is a bag of garden grade diatomaceous earth. Right now the ants are starting to climb up a tree because of the flower. So you put some garden grade diatomaceous earth, make a nice little band. It won't hurt the chickens. They'll probably dust themselves with it to help get rid of fleas. Just put a nice little band around it, try not to breathe it in. That's garden grade. You can always use food grade diatomaceous earth.
Bye. Your soil that made you laugh too. So don't panic. Oh, it's the bull gardener. He comes to you. Questions on your garden, he will answer true. Control your pest properly too.
So today we're going to be using chili oil. Remember, the more hotter the more better. We're using some type of cooking oil today, basically, is what we're doing. So we're using a couple of different types. So this is about 8 ounces of chili oil. And that's, we hired the plant to do that. So we're going to go ahead and dump this 8 ounces in about roughly 2.5 gallons. We're going to put water in it, okay? Oh, to the chili oil, okay? Sesame oil is a wonderful tool. It helps to stick around a lot more than any of the other types of variety of oil. And we don't need to add a whole lot of that, maybe about 1/2 cup worth. So I'm going to go ahead and shake it up in here. And then the other thing we want to add to it, today we're adding pennyroyal oil. Pennyroyal is an essential oil. You don't need a whole lot. And be careful using essential oils. Don't get it in your eye. You're not supposed to be breathing. Definitely don't use it if you're pregnant. But the amount to use will vary, because you want to, don't want to overdo it, see? You don't want to have too much and nobody in the neighborhood come around. So in 3 gallons, I'm going to add roughly 3 capfuls, see? One more thing we want to add is this is a mixture of cooking oil, and it's got a natural source of pyrethrum. And this is 5% pyrethrum, which is a natural source. There's a chemical pyrethrum and a natural pyrethrum. So what I do is I add it to the cooking oil. I add it to canola oil. We're going to just take just a little bit. So I use it because it's a simple unit, and it's going to be 2 ounces going to go in there. See? It measures it out for you. Basically, it's a cooking oil. Because it's cold, the bottom of the oil gets, you know, as it gets warmer, it'll dissolve more. So then we're going to take that, going to add to water, and we're going to introduce it to our ant friends. Put 1.5 gallons of water in here. Not the full, this is a 2.5 gallon unit. So I put 1.5 gallons of water to that mixture, okay? And what we're going to do is we're going to take it and shake it up really nicely and then use it. So here are the ants.
To make the earth sick. Don't
panic. Easy to do. So we're going to take this and we're going to shake it regularly, because if you don't add the soap, it'll separate on you. We're going to pump her up.
It's organic.
Shaking and pumping as we go.
The bull gardener, he comes to you. Questions on your garden, he will answer true. Control your pest properly to hear your soil and make you laugh too. So don't panic. Oh, it's organic. No chemicals to make the earth sick. Oh, don't panic. Oh,
Oh, hi. So one of the things you have to do in a natural lawn is you have to do a lot of physical, like right here, see? What we're going to do today is we're going to put down some corn gluten for natural weed control. Now, the corn gluten will not stop or kill what's here already. We have seeded this lawn before. We started it onto a natural fertilization program because you want to feed it right, control the watering. It's getting watered every 4 days now. But one of the things you have to do is, like right here, you have to pull stuff out from the roots. Okay, you have to pull them out by the roots. Once you do that, any new stuff will be prevented, will stop the corn gluten, will stop it from growing because it's a preventative. Here's some clover. So it won't kill the clover, but it will stop the clover from growing. So you physically have to go through it. Okay, so let's see if you see any more weeds in here. Here's some right here. I think these are called lamb's ears. I'm not really sure. This could be part of the contest. Take a look here. So here is a weed. So today's contest is identify that weed and you'll get a free lifetime membership to my club. Okay, but what you have to do then is you have to try to pull it all out by the roots. As much of it as you can by the roots. See? And this will fill in eventually. Here's another weed over here. And there's a lot of them that you want to go through. It's a slow process. It'll take you, that's why it'll take you a few years using the corn gluten, because every year you have less and less weeds. So you want to go through that. Here's some more over here, see? So we're going to go ahead and just, and one of the things I'm doing is I'm teaching the gardener to go through here and hand pull these out. And you want to pull as much as you can out if you leave any behind. Here's some more clovers over here, so let's just go ahead and pull these out. Okay, then we'll go ahead. I'll go get the corn gluten. We'll put this first application down.
For some of you that don't know what I do, one of the things I do is I run a club. Besides this radio show, the club is called Club IG, stands for Invisible Gardener Club, Invisible Gardener. As a member, you get to have access to all my books. They're in a PDF format. The books are available on Kindle if you want to buy them from Kindle. You know, I can't give them to you in the Kindle format. And my books are also available from Amazon in the PDF version, but you get them for free as a member. And so, as I mentioned before, I do natural spraying service. I'm also a natural arborist. I can help people keep trees healthy simply by making the soil healthy, believe it or not. That's very important. And so I'm an organic consultant. I charge $250 an hour for my time, but for my members, it's free. Right now, it's free. It's normally $55 for a lifetime. You get my $20 book. Or if you just want to do totally digital, you can get it. $20 for a lifetime, you get, it's a digital membership. You get access to all my my books in the PDF version. As a member, you can talk to me anytime, whether it's on the radio show here, or whether it's on through email, or through the newsletter. Lots of different ways. You have an organic hotline that you can call me and talk to me. See, so that's what it's all about. Me helping you to do your thing much, be happy to grow your soil, to grow your produce and your vegetables. I also do soil testing so that you need a laboratory to send your stuff to. I can provide you with those services. I'm very heavily into remineralization. I'm happy to explain to you where I get all my products from. That's what the show is about, showing you where I buy things, where I get some. I have no secrets from you, okay? I not only teach permaculture or biodynamics, but I also teach a variety of other systems that I have worked on myself for centuries, right? I do organic fertilizations. We don't use any chemical fertilizers whatsoever. None of that. Never will, never have, never will. And then when I spray, so I told you natural organic products, doesn't hurt me or anything. Our show is right here on bbsradio.com. You get to it through my website, invisiblegardener.com. Okay, so I'm here every Saturday for you. You can email me, andylopez@visiblegardener.com. If you have questions, that's another way you can talk to me, you know. So coming up in, right after the show on Station 2 is the Cosmic Spaceship. So you want to tune into that. Make sure you have your headphones on. You know, the place, a relaxed place. It also shows you my artwork that I create. Okay? Please visit me on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. I have over 500, 600 videos on YouTube. Join and subscribe. Okay? And all my videos are there for you to go through. You have any questions? You have the book. You have questions you can talk to me about. That's what I'm here for. Okay? So don't panic. It's organic. I'll be back again next week. Every Saturday, I'm here just for you. If you want to call me on my show, there's the phone numbers there on the website. What numbers to call? Or you can use Zoom. We also use Zoom. Pretty soon, I'm going to go to a format where I'll be able to talk to you rather than have it recorded. So part of it's going to be recorded, part of it's going to be live just to talk to you. Pay a visit to invisiblegardener.com and join today. Take care of yourself. Bye. Hey, bye, everybody.